For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 this morning. Boy, it's been a wonderful service. I sure have enjoyed the singing, the testimonies, the congregational singing, the choir, all of it, special music. Mark's Gospel chapter 5 this morning. Mark's Gospel chapter 5. I'm not preaching around the home, although I almost feel like I should, but this is just a place that God led me, a very simple gospel message this morning. Paul said, I pray that you'd not be removed from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And we never want to become removed from that and miss out on all of that. Mark's Gospel chapter 5, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. 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 And they came over unto the other side of the Sea of Galilee, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now in verse 11, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine, or pigs, feeding. And all the devils or demons besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, an unusual scene, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw it. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Lord, I pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading and the preaching of your word today. Certainly you've added your blessing to the testimonies and the song service. And I pray that in these few moments, God, that you'd meet with us. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this miracle that you performed, we'd reflect on the miracle that you did on our heart one day. And Lord, for those that may have not experienced that miracle of salvation today, may this be the day in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak today on what we know and who we have called and termed and described as the maniac of Gadara. How many of you ever heard that term? The maniac of Gadara. And I've entitled the message, really, the message, the miracle of the maniac, or the miracle for the maniac. The miracle for the maniac. And it's an interesting story as we read it. And notice in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, And they came over unto the other side of the sea. And then notice in verse 2, And when he was come out of the ship, speaking of Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. We call the gospel of Mark the gospel of continuance. It's the gospel of action.
In fact, in verse 2, if you see the word immediately, you can underline that in your Bible. 40 times in the gospel of Mark is this used here. Immediately, moving. He stepped out. He stepped up. He moved here. He went here. And immediately there met him out of the tomb. And 40 times that phrase is used in the gospel of continuance. It's the shortest gospel of all four gospels. But oh, it's a gospel packed with action. Wherever Jesus was, there was action. Wherever Jesus was, there was something happening. I want to be where Jesus is. I think he's still here among us. If we're here, he's amongst us. We're saved. I want to be where he is, and I want to be where there's something happening for the gospel's sake. And I think in a local church, in a local Baptist church, in a local independent Baptist church, in a local independent fundamental Baptist church, there ought to be some action. There ought to be a continuing blessing of God. There ought to be really a continuing revival spirit. We ought to be in that spirit of revival all the time. And we're not, but we ought to be. We ought to be praying that God would recover us out of that state of neglect, that we'd not neglect so great salvation. But here we see Jesus moving. He's moving, and many of his miracles occurred right around the Sea of Galilee here. And he meets this maniac, and we're going to find out why some have called him a maniac. And we know that he lived around Gadara. And that's a place that's still there. You can visit the country of the Gadarenes. I didn't see any maniacs there when I was there a few years ago. And there's probably more maniacs around here than there are over there. Somebody said, were you scared when you were in Israel? No, I said I was more scared when I was in New York City, you know. But anyway, here we see the maniac, the miracle that God did. He took him from the graves to grace. Amen. He took him from death unto life. He took him from sadness to happiness. That's what Jesus does. All of us have a story to tell, and all of us, in fact, last week in our evening school of the Bible, by the way, you have a take-home quiz due tomorrow night. But anyway, in our school of the Bible, we've been covering personal evangelism, and we talked about the power last week of the testimony. We all have a testimony to tell. You ought to learn how to tell, give your testimony. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can get through the Romans Road or John's journey. I don't know if I can remember all those verses. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. Tell them what your life was like before you met him. Then what your life was like after you met him. Tell them about the blessings of God since you've met the Savior. Man, we all have a story to tell. And I want you to know that Jesus never made a maniac out of anybody. He never made a freak out of anybody. Now, we might seem a bit off the cuff to this old dying world and this crazy maniacal world, but Jesus really makes us and births in us the beginning. The beginning is born in us when we're saved. The word used in the Bible is regenerated. We're regened spiritually. We're born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. When we meet Jesus, there's a change. There's a radical change. And here in Mark chapter 5, Jesus steps out of the boat. And this probably was not unusual, but it says immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You know, there are people out there today, they may not have an unclean spirit, but they're unsaved. You might be here this morning, you say, thank God I'm not filled with demons. But if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell, just like this man was. And you need him. You need a change. I mean, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Can you say that today? I want you to notice about this maniac of Gadara. First of all, in verse 3, there was he was living in unnatural surroundings. He was living among the tombs. I mean, you can't live in a more unnatural surroundings than live in a cemetery. That's unnatural. Would you say amen to that? I'd say that's unnatural. Look in verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Isn't this a sad situation? Here's a man living under the circumstances. He's living in unnatural surroundings. He's living in a place, the Bible says he had his dwelling among the tombs. It's unnatural to be consumed with death. In fact, when God saves you, he takes that fear of death away. He takes that interest in all of that away. I mean, that to be consumed with death. I mean, whether it's through music, that's unnatural. Whether it's through a manner of life, that's unnatural. Through thoughts of death, that's unnatural. I think anybody that's lost should have a fear of death. But I mean to be consumed with death and the dress of the world that reflects an interest in death. I mean that morbid interest in death and the desires that come with that and the movies that come with that and the entertainment that come with that. I've never, you know, I mean, you may love the zombie movies, but man, I just can't, you know, I can't get into a zombie. I mean, it's unnatural. It's unnatural. Why is it when we go to the cemetery, we don't want to stay there? It's unnatural. But oh, what an exciting place that cemetery is going to be one day. Jesus stood there at the tomb of Lazarus and told all of those there, but especially Mary and Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? And of course they did. And Lazarus had believed that. And he said, Lazarus, come out of the grave. And he did. And he said, loose him and let him free. It's unnatural surroundings to be consumed with death. I gave a track the other day to a fella, and a friendly fella. Friendly fellow, but had his nails all painted black and dressed in black. You could tell he had kind of a gothic idea of life and all of that. But you know what? He was open to the gospel. People need Jesus. Probably nobody ever explained to him it's unnatural to be consumed with death. Man, I want to become consumed with life and consumed with life everlasting and to be consumed with Jesus who takes us from death unto life. And changes us. He takes us from that darkness into and we live in that place of light. The unnatural surroundings. But then notice this miracle that Jesus did for the maniac. He had unusual strength. And he had an untamable spirit. You've probably read about those that are filled with demons and those that are demon possessed. That often they possess an untamable spirit, but they have unusual strength. I'm glad I've not experienced a lot of that. You know, I just believe that God's people ought to stay as far away from all that stuff as we can. I think in the last days before Jesus comes, we're going to see more of that though. We're going to see more of that. We may not see it right in here, but we're seeing it more. I talked to a young man a few years ago. He said, will you come and pray over my house? And I asked him about it and he explained to me. He said, you know, we were playing some games in my house and he said we had a Ouija board and we were laughing and things like that. But he said some things happened there. He explained to me and he said, honestly, he said, preacher, it scared us. It scared us bad. And he said, ever since then, he said, there's just been unusual things happening. And, you know, he called it a haunted house, but I think I understood what he was talking about there. An untamable spirit. That's not in us to tame that spirit. An unusual strength. I didn't, but I did tell him about Jesus who could remove that spirit, that dark spirit upon his house. I said, if you'll build your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, I said, God will flood your home with light. But I'll tell you, saved or unsaved, we're no match for the devil, I'll tell you that. Jesus is, though. There was an unusual strength. Look in verse 3. It says, and no man could find him. By the way, I wouldn't mess with any of that young people. I wouldn't play with anything that the devil has his hand in, whether it's tarot cards or Ouija boards or that kind of music or the horoscope. Man, let's read what God says instead of reading what some goofball has written. There was an unusual strength involved there. Notice, no man could bind him. Isn't that sad? No, not with chains. And it says because he'd often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. He'd ripped them in two, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Notice verse 3, no man could bind him. And in verse 4, no man could tame him, but Jesus could. You say, I've got a friend who's lost and in sin, and I tell you, nothing's helped him. I'll tell you, Jesus, one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ can change a heart. You say, I've got an alcoholic father, an alcoholic mother, an uncle, or grandpa. I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin, and He will. Man's intellect won't do it. Man's education won't do it. Man's funding won't do it. Man's programs won't do it. Man's training won't do it. Man's ideas won't do it. Man's strength won't do it. Man's dreams won't do it. Neither could any man tame him. But God can. But notice number 4, before this miracle, he was just in an unhappy situation. You say, Pastor, I'm not filled with demons. I'm not living in the cemetery. They're not binding me with chains. I'm not demon possessed. But oh, friend, you're headed to that place where the God of this world is in charge. I want you to know you're in an unhappy situation if you're lost. Before I got saved, I was pretty good. I could put a good smile on, but I wasn't happy. If you're lost, you're in an unhappy situation. I guarantee you, but the joy of the Lord can be your strength. Happy is the man who trusts in Him. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. That'll bring forth his fruit and his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You can have the blessing of God and the joy of God and the happiness that comes with that. He was in an unhappy and untenable situation. Look in verse 5. And it says, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. You know what the devil does? The devil separates you from those that can help you. The devil separates you from those that love you. The devil separates you from joy. He separates you from light. He separates you from those that love you. The devil's a separator. He's a divider. He's a confuser. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. And I tell you, God brings us together in His holy love. He was in an unhappy situation. Look at verse 5. Night and day, in the mountains and in the tombs. Look at crying and cutting himself with stones. I've dealt with young people that do these things. This is still true today. These poor kids and young adults cutting themselves. Oh, God help you. I'll tell you, there's a release and there's redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. Unhappy. Unhappy. No rest. No peace. No hope. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Jesus looked around that whole crowd and he began to weep. He wept. He wept because he loved them. He wept because he realized that many of them still didn't get it. He hung on the cross and looked at the two thieves on either side of him. I mean, in that situation, the den and the the cries and the smell of death. You think about that. We were looking at this Wednesday night when Christ hung on that cross. Most men would not have made it up the Via Dolorosa. They would not have made it up that pavement after they'd taken the beating that Jesus took. And he carried his cross and fell under the weight of it. Probably his organs were partially hanging out of his chest. Some have written books about the five wounds of Jesus. The truth is, Jesus probably suffered 5,000 wounds. His face was swollen. Isaiah said he didn't even look like a man. And Simon of the Cyrene was pulled and out of the crowd and made to carry the cross piece for Jesus' cross. And they took him up there and probably had posts already in line. You think of the stench, that place of death, and the cry. And some, I think Josephus said maybe 30,000 people saw Jesus die. No doubt he wept there. He looked over at that one thief. And all he heard was swearing. Who was in an unhappy situation? The other thief rebuked his friend maybe and said, "Man, don't curse him. We deserve to be here." And he looked at Jesus. He said, "Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today." Hey, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He beat him to heaven. Say amen right there. I like to think that Lazarus, when he got up out of the grave, walked around with a big smile on his face all the time. They hated him. They tried to kill him. He had such a witness for Jesus. I'll tell you, God will take the frown away. God will take the sneer away. God will take the attitude away. God will take that spirit of death away from us. God will take a maniac and make us into what He wants us to be. He was in an unhappy situation. But notice he faced unbelievable sarcasm. Look in verse 6. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped Him. The truth is, he didn't worship Him necessarily, but read it in the context there. In verse 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High?" You can hear the sarcasm dripping in his voice, the demon speaking from inside this poor man as he mocked him. And he said, "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Yes, he was in an unhappy situation, but it was unbelievable sarcasm considering that. But I think we notice here the devils believe and tremble. They don't believe like we believe, but they believe, they know that Jesus is and was the Son of God. They respected Him, but they didn't reverence Him. They fell down before Him, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And verse 8, He said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." I want you to know Jesus only had to say it one time. Why? Because He's the Son of God. Why? Because He's the living Savior. Why? Because He rose from the dead and was victorious over death. He was victorious over hell. He was victorious over the grave. He was victorious over the devil. He was victorious over all of that. When He says, "Come out," they come out. Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." There were a large number of demons in this dear man. And this unusual story here. They knew they didn't have a chance, and they said, "Well, put us into the swine." You know, the devil will do all the damage he can do, wherever he can do, whenever he can do it. I think we ought to do all the good we can, as much as we can, to as many people as we can while we can do it. These devils said, "Cast us into the pigs." I thought that was pretty suitable. That's a good place for the devil. Cast them into the hogs. Big herd of swine. Steep mountain there. I want you to know when the devil gets into something, he messes it all up. I mean, you don't see hogs running down the mountain much. And you don't see them running and committing suicide, jumping into the sea. That's what the devil does. It says, all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Somehow it's fitting, isn't it? And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. I don't know why he did that. But the unclean spirits went out and entered into the pigs, the swine, the hogs, and the herd ran violently. Violently. The way of transgressors is hard, isn't it? Down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. No wonder this man was unhappy. No wonder he didn't have joy. No wonder he was unhappy living among the tombs. It was an untenable situation, unbelievable sarcasm. But notice, there was an undeniable sovereignty. Undeniable. Those hogs said, those demons said, we know we've met our match. At least let us kill something. I'll tell you this. Satan sifts. Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you. He said, when you're converted, he said, strengthen thy brethren. All that God is the opposite of all that Satan is. And notice they come to Jesus. They that fed the swine fled, verse 14, told it in the city and the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus. Look in verse 15. There's no denying. They had no denial that a miracle had taken place here. I'm saying there was undeniable sovereignty. Remember when you got saved? I remember when I got saved, I'd get someplace to preach after I was called to preach. Some of my friends would come to hear me just because they couldn't believe it. And they just sat back there with their mouths open. And the rumor has it, he'll not last. Well, somehow I have, by the grace of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. From light, from darkness to light. They couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. After all these years, God's able. He'll save you this morning. And it says they come to Jesus. I mean, look, it wasn't a matter of them wondering who he was. They knew who he was. It was never a matter of whether Jesus could perform a miracle. The devil knew he could. It's a matter of whether he would. The devil knows he has but a short time. I think that's why he's so active in this world today. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. There's a lion on the loose in Ripley, West Virginia this morning. The God of this world walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says we're to resist him steadfast in the faith. Draw nigh to God. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. Verse 15. They come to see him that was possessed with the devil, who had the legion past tense. He was possessed past tense. But now present tense. He's sitting. He's clothed. Don't have time to go there, but I'll tell you what. The closer you get to God, amen. We don't run around naked. Clothed and in his right mind. Philippians 4:8, the Bible says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The God of peace will be with you. God took his heart and changed it. God took his mind and set it right. God gave him, rung the joy bells in his soul. Here he is. They'd put chains on him. They'd spent money. They took him out to eat. They cleaned him up. They bought him clothes. They took jars of peanut butter and jelly out there. Nothing would change him. They took him to AA, AAA, STP, NRA. Nothing changed him. Nothing. I'll tell you what, when he met Jesus, hey, he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. That's why Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor's not in vain. Listen, God gives us a right mind, right thinking when he saves us. Now let me say this seriously. Christians can't be demon possessed. But we can be demon obsessed or oppressed. We can be oppressed. Can Christians become depressed? Yes. Can we have blue moments and blue days and depressed and discouraging times? Absolutely. I think David did. I think King Saul did. I think that spirit that was upon King Saul was a spirit. I think he was depressed. If you're living that way, listen, God doesn't want you to live that way. Saved people can have thoughts that you should not be thinking. If those thoughts enter your mind, listen, you call me, call Pastor Grant, call Pastor Seth, call our wives, call our deacons, you call a friend. Listen, there's somebody here that loves you. There's somebody here that cares about you. There's hope. I'm telling you, there's hope in Jesus. Don't be thinking that way. Don't be thinking, well, this world would be better off without me. This world wouldn't be better off without you. Your family would miss you. Your friends would miss you. And you'd miss the will of God for your life. Listen, God wants you to have joy and peace and happiness and all the fruit of the Spirit. There was an undeniable sovereignty. Well, Steve Robertson used to say, a good dose of salvation is like, he said, it's like the measles. He said, it'll pop out on you sooner or later. David said, Lord, you know all that David did. David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. They brought the ark back into Jerusalem. David had a spell. His wife got embarrassed. He was having such a spell. He was dancing before the Lord, praising God, the joy of the Lord. He'd found his joy again. You can have your joy again. There was undeniable sovereignty here. The man that was possessed, the man that had the legion, the man that was naked, now he's sitting. The man that was, he'd never sit long enough to have a normal conversation with you. He was in his right mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Read the Bible. One assignment we had this weekend, was to go back to our rooms. And our wives would read a section of a Bible study to us. And I enjoyed that. I mean, it's usually me reading or speaking. Most of the time, wives look for the men to lead in that, and we are to lead in that. Man, what a blessing to hear my wife read the Bible and read this to me. Sweet. So good, I'm going to have her start preaching on Wednesday night. Now I'm back in my right mind. I'm not going to do that, but I'll tell you, there's something about reading the Bible, thinking on it. Our meditation of Him, David said, shall be sweet. There's a holy God in heaven that has a lot of joy and happiness for you. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him. Look at verse 16. They all knew it. How he was possessed with the devil. Concerning the swine, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Listen, they missed the miracle. They said, boy, what a waste of all that bacon ran off into the ocean. We're going to miss all that sausage. They missed the miracle. And here's this guy that they were afraid to drive by there at night or walk through there at night. This guy was crazy. Now they want him to move away. And that's the way the world thinks they missed it. He didn't miss it, though. Notice, it says in verse 18, he got back on the boat with Jesus. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Decapolis, I understand, has the idea of 10 cities. There's a 10-city region. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Can you see this fella? This was a maniac that now had a mission. He's walking through Decapolis, and nobody recognizes him. He's walking down the street, and suddenly maybe somebody says, it's the maniac! And they all begin to run, and he says, no, don't run. Don't run. Let me tell you how I met Jesus. Must have been how Paul must have felt after he got saved. Can you imagine him coming to your church after he was responsible for your family being killed or crucified? And Barnabas said, I heard him preach. He's the real deal. I heard him pray. He's a changed man. I want you to know the Spirit of God is in him and on him. He stood up for him. Aren't you glad for the Barnabases and the Pauls and the Timothys in your life? And notice here, all men did marvel. They marveled. They may not have understood it, but there was a miracle, a notable miracle that happened. Let me ask you this. You say, Pastor, I'm a teenager here today. I didn't have that kind of experience. Thank God. Thank God you didn't. Thank God you didn't. See, I got saved 5 years old. Thank God for that. Thank God you've got a family that took you to church and told you about Jesus and you got saved at a young age. You didn't have to experience that. You might be here today and you say, I don't have the joy of God on my life. I don't have forgiveness. I'm not filled with demons. But I'm not happy. I want you to know Jesus is the source of happiness and joy. He can lift your soul. He can lift your burden. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. Rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. You can have that salvation today. Won't you come and accept Him as your Savior? Come and accept Him. You say, Preacher, there's just been a spirit on my life, just depression and discouragement. Come, ask God to take that away today. He will. He will.